I admit up front that this message is not mine. There's different versions of it out there. I don't know who put this together originally. But Pastor Agnew, pastor First Baptist of Holland, who's now with the Lord, he said, hey, there's nothing new under the sun, according to Ecclesiastes, which is true. That's a Bible quote. And I know that preachers make up their own messages and everything, but when you go back to all the messages that were put forth by preachers down through the decades and centuries over the last 2,000 years, he always said, there's nothing new under the sun. So, man, you think you got something new, but it's probably been hit upon before. And this verse here is so descriptive that we need to dig into it a little bit, as someone has done, as they take the phrases of it. So let's together quote John 3:16. And I like the King James Version, which some of the probably the mature saints here today know that version as well. So whatever you use, it'll all fit together. So let's begin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we're going to take each phrase by itself and talk a little bit about that phrase and some scripture verses. I have a lot of scripture verses today. It says, for God. And of course, that's the greatest one. The greatest one. It says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18, to whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeneth will ye compare unto him? And we know from the scriptures that God is all-powerful. He's everywhere at once. And he's all knowledge. He knows everything. Not just what we know today, but whatever else man's going to discover in the future, he already knows it. Whatever knowledge takes you to, maybe it never ends. I don't know. I don't know where that all stops. But whatever knowledge there is, God knows it all. Al Lacy, I mentioned him before, he left an impression on my mind. I think he's still alive. He's out west. He's writing novels now. He was an evangelist for many years. He came up to First Baptist of Holland several times for revival meetings. We don't have, sad to say, too many revival meetings like we used to. We know that doesn't mean revival's going to come, but you bring a special speaker in and they preach for a week or so. Anyway, Al Lacy, I remember it very clearly. He was a very passionate preacher, and he was explaining to us out of this chapter, Isaiah, about how big the universe is. And that was many years ago. And now with the telescopes they have in the sky, the Hubble, and there's a new one going up in the fall. I forget the name of it. It's named after a man that was big in NASA. Watch for it. It's going to be going up in the fall. Because with the Hubble, they've seen as far as they can see, and as far as they can tell, there's no end to the universe. And what this new telescope's going to show, I don't know. But Al Lacy said, it says in verse 12 of Isaiah 40, that God measures out the universe with one span of his hand. Now you take that in. There's my span of my hand right there. That's what that means. And God Almighty has laid out the universe with one span of his hand. And it's endless, it seems like. Wow, he is the greatest one. We could just dwell on that the entire service. God. So loved. The greatest degree. I've said this before here. I'll say it again. I'll probably say it in the future. But you hear people talk about this occasionally. Some people say, well, why did God make us? Some people will say he was lonely. Perish the thought. God is unique within himself. He didn't need us for company. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which we don't understand completely. Three persons in one. You can put whatever description you want in there. We can't understand the Trinity, but he was complete within himself. God was in eternity past, which never had a beginning. Now try to grab all that into your mind. That blows me away every time I get into a holy moment. I say, well, I'll figure out God. You know, I don't really say that, but you try to imagine your mind where God came from. And we say, he didn't come for anybody. He always was. All the attributes he ever has now, he had in eternity past, which never had a beginning. How can that be? How old is the earth? Debates about that. How old is mankind? Debates about that. But most theologians believe we're like 6,000 or 7,000 years that man was created. And eternity past was, it never had a beginning. So God was not lonely, but he loved us. The greatest degree. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us. And we could spend a whole time on that. He loved us to the greatest degree. And what did he love? God so loved the world, the greatest number. I don't know exactly how many people are in the world today, but approximately between 7 and 8 billion. So we'll just use 7.5 billion as an estimate. If you would start counting today, two people a second, nonstop, don't take any breaks for anything, not even sleep. Try to count all the people in the world, 7.5 billion people, two people every second. So that'd be 2, 4, 6, 8. You know how long it would take you to get to 7.5 billion? 120 years. That's a lot of people. It is a lot of people out there around the world. And he loved the world. No matter what the number and how big that gets, the Bible says that God's grace is sufficient. He has no trouble with that, considering how strong he is, how much knowledge he has. He loves not the world system, but he loves the people of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. And this is called the greatest act. The greatest act. Acts chapter 2. Let me read these verses for you. Verses 22 and 23. Says this. This is the message by Peter in the book of Acts as the church was just starting out. He says, ye men of Israel, talking to the Jewish people here, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, meaning talking about Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Beloved, we can't even get to the depths of this statement. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. People have tried to make a comparison between maybe a preacher and his son, or a preacher and his grandson. That pales into insignificance when you try to compare what God the Father did with his Son. He gave, and the Son was willing to come. The greatest act. This is why you need to come back to the gospel on a regular basis. You say, well, this is kind of a gospel message. It is. But there's so many things that were happening there and has happened that our minds cannot capture the depth of it. Yes, the gospel is simplistic, but its depth is far beyond our comprehension. I think about it a lot, and I've been a Christian for over 50 years, and it still boggles my mind. The love that he had for mankind to do what he did. And he gave the greatest act. I've said this before, I'll probably say it again, but Dr. Desilius, my teacher in Bible school, which I dearly loved, I still do. He's in his 80s now, 85. He's down in Georgia teaching the Bible school. He's an associate pastor, goes on missionary trips. So he's continuing on with God's service. His health is pretty good. Mind's still sharp. I heard him preaching in the summertime. And I don't know if it was original with him or if he got it from somebody else. But on the cross, the statement is, we see man as his worst. try to focus in on history of when you see mankind at its worst moment. You say, well, Hitler, yeah, that was pretty bad. 6 million Jews, there's a lot. Stalin, maybe more. Yeah, there's a lot of bad things in history, but you cannot go to a point in history when you see mankind at his worst and what took place during the cross. This person, the Son of God, who was sinless, who was God in the flesh, and he was perfect, and he did all these miracles and all these teachings and so forth, and yet they put him on the cross. They brutalized him the night before. And he was humiliated in his shame. And he seen mankind crucify the Son of God. Completely innocent. He couldn't sin. He didn't sin because he couldn't sin. And so we see man at his worst, but you can't ever point to a time in history, at least in our mind's eye, when you see God at his best. Because God put up with it. He allowed his Son to go through that because of his love for you and for me and for the world. Wow, the greatest act. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's the greatest gift. The greatest gift. But God commendeth his love toward us, Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the answer. That's the answer. Again, Dr. Lascelles used to often say when he was teaching from the Bible, we see what happened on the cross here. God says, I will take your sin, and in return, I'll give you my righteousness. Wow. And if you're here today and you know the Lord, that's what happened. He took the sin of mankind. And then in time, when you were born, he offers from the scriptures the gift of eternal life. So the divine swap is how they say it. Our sin for his righteousness. And when you take these things in that we're sharing with you today, it brings us to the communion table. Do this in remembrance of me, what he did. And then that takes us to the last verse of that song. If the whole realm of nature was mine, it would be far too small a gift to give back what he's done for me. And beloved, we're going to be enjoying God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. How that's all going to work in eternity, I have no idea. Who are you going to see when you get there? I don't know. Revelation chapter 4 says we'll see God the Father. Revelation chapter 5 says we'll see Jesus. How are you going to see two persons in one? It's beyond our comprehension. I don't know who we're going to see. In my mind's eye, it seems like we'll see the God-man. Because he is still the God-man today. We'll go through eternity future. And we need to fall in love with him because we're going to be falling in love with him for eternity future. We need to do it now and continue to do that. It's the greatest gift, the only begotten Son. And there was only one Son. And he did that for you and for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever, wow, whosoever. So what's that statement? The greatest imitation. The greatest imitation. Romans 10:12 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No exceptions. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how good you've been or how bad you've been. It does not matter. Because he promises if you come to him with the right heart attitude, as we will see later on in this message, that whosoever fits in. No one humanly is excluded. As I mentioned Hitler before, even Hitler. If he came the way God wants him to pray, even he would have all those sins washed away. See, some people don't understand that. I preach in prison a lot. I still do. Not preach, but I visit. I did preach for a while. We were the first church in Lewisburg and the first church in the area to have the first services at the Trumbull County Correctional Institution. But then they said, well, you can't do that and visit at the same time. I said, I don't understand that, but okay, we're going to visit. So we've been visiting. Counted up, I've been to about 8 prisons in Ohio and I continue to do that. And people in churches say, well, once you go to prison, whatever it might be, because sometimes people will kill people in there. That's why they're there. He said, yeah, you kill somebody, you can't get saved. I said, if you believe that, you don't understand grace. We're all sinners. We're in the same boat. Maybe some to the worse degree than others, but we're all headed for Christless eternity. And so God is saying in this verse that it's open up to whosoever, no matter what you've done. The greatest invitation, and that still holds true for today. For whosoever, no exceptions. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, there is the key, believeth. And this is the greatest simplicity, the greatest simplicity. It says in Acts chapter 8, verses 20, well, it's a story here. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It takes too much time. But this man, the Ethiopian eunuch, was probably a black man. He was a proselyte of the Jewish faith. He believed in it. He went to Israel and proceeded in sacrifices and offerings and everything. He was coming back, going back to his home, and God told Philip to go and talk to him. And evidently the chariot was going very slow, and the Ethiopian eunuch was reading out of the book of Isaiah, and Philip jumped up probably on the little ledge or something. I'm not sure how that worked back then, but either walked to the wind, talked to the window, it was going so slow, he jumped up on the edge and said, you know what you're reading about? He said, no, I don't understand what I'm reading about. So then Philip came in, and he says he preached unto him Jesus. He explained to him what that passage was about out of Isaiah 53. It was a prophecy of what Christ would go through. And so down in verse 37, here's what is said. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And of course, what he was talking about here is about, he said, well, now that I'm a Christian, I want to be baptized. He said, if you believe with all your heart, you can. And then they found some water and some men. He got baptized really fast after he got saved. Listen, baptism is important. You should do that as quickly as you can when you understand it, the offering is there after you get saved. Baptism doesn't save you, but it shows that you are a Christian. Just as the Ethiopian eunuch did here. Now the key, when you say believe, I've been witnessing to this one man for many, many years. And he says, Pastor Rod, I believe. And I'm not his judge. I'm not anybody's judge. All I can do is answer myself to God, like you do. But see, a lot of people say, well, if I believe in my head, that's enough. No, it's not. Because the Bible says that the demons even believe that Jesus is God. It doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Biblical belief is, the Bible very clearly tells us, is when you hear the invitation to receive Christ, it says, turn from your sin, and then by faith, receive him as Lord and Savior. And so, that repentance, or that turning from your sin, is not taught today as much as it should be, in my opinion. John the Baptist did that. Jesus did that. The New Testament writers did that. They said there has to be a desire in your heart to turn from your sinful ways and then by faith receive him. That's biblical belief, not just in your head. And this man I've been talking to many years, I don't think he's done that yet. Again, I'm not his judge. Hopefully he has, but I don't see much fruit there. He has no desire to go to church or anything like that. So the greatest simplicity is belief. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, the greatest person, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was and is God. He became as a man, and even today, on the earth, then and today and forevermore, he's without sin. Even though the Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Theologians tell us, and I believe they're right from the scriptures, that he did not sin because he could not sin because he was God. I can't explain those two parts, but well, how can he know what I'm going through if he was a sinner? There's another mystery. I can't explain it. That's just what the scriptures say. You say, well, how great was this second person of the Godhead? Let me read to you Colossians 1:16. For by him, Christ, in the context, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. God the Father says, here's the plan. And then Jesus is the one that did it. In the power of the Holy Spirit, they work together. So Jesus is the one that made the heavens. Verse 18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn, and the most important from the dead. In all things he might have the preeminence. So in him, the greatest person, and he will always be the greatest person. Isn't it sad today how the world takes his name in vain? I don't know if they've done that for 2,000 years, but they do a lot of it today. And it has come right into our society, right into our young people. They listen closely. Oh, my, and then they say the word G-O-D. God's name is used a lot in vain today. And of course, they go on and say our Lord's name many, many times. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The greatest deliverance. For whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation from the penalty of sin. We've preached about that before, but get a handle on that. Because some people say, well, how can I still sin and be a Christian? Well, you shouldn't, but it happens. We know that. So when you got saved, Jesus says, I will remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. I will bury it in the deepest part of the sea, never again to bring it up to you as far as the penalty of your sin. You don't have to go to the lake of fire because I took care of that for you. But then there's the salvation of the power of sin in your life. That's what we're working on right now. God doesn't want us to sin, so he says, get rid of sin. Keep on working on it. God's been seeking my heart about that. I wrote a new verse, 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro across the whole earth. Well, here's what he's doing. Strengthening those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God wants you to be holy. Are you holy every second of every day? Maybe not. That's where he wants you to be. That's what communion is about. You're going to have a chance here to analyze your life. And you see something between you and God, confess it before you partake. Because as you do that, he will strengthen you with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you and I need today. That's where a lot of Christians are going awry. They think, well, God can put up with this little pet sin or that thing. No, he can't. He wants you to walk in purity. Be holy as I am holy. And so we're working on the power of sin in their lives. And eventually, when he comes, the third P is we're removed from the presence of sin. Oh, I can't wait till sin drops off. And some of those ugly thoughts that come to your mind from someplace, I guess Satan, in your own body of sin, will never happen again. So there's future salvation. Salvation from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. And so God promises us that we will never perish. We'll never perish. But have, that's the next phrase, the greatest certainty. Do you have the assurance where you're going when you die? God wants you to have that. 1 John 5:13, familiar verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you know that you have eternal life. I feel sorry for some of our Christian brothers who teach that if you sin long enough and bad enough, God will take away the gift of salvation. And if I believe that, if I believe the teachers teach about that, I would probably quit preaching and quit coming to church. But we have this greatest certainty, this greatest assurance that we are children of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The greatest possession. If you have that assurance, the truth in your life that you're going to be with him for eternity future, you have it all. Well, I know life is full of ups and downs. We're all going through that to one degree or another. But listen to Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Everlasting life. This is not the end, folks. This is not heaven. Remember, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That's why it's a mess down here. It's getting worse all the time, isn't it? As we turn away from the Word of God more and more. But God has assured us that in the end, we will see Him, we'll get new bodies and new minds, and we'll live with Him and serve Him for all eternity future. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the greatest verse in my mind's eye. We thank You for whoever put this together. It has so much truth to it, and we appreciate it. But Lord, now as we partake in communion, help us to analyze where we're at with You. Appreciate what You did for us, and then, God, recommit our lives to You in purity, that we might glorify You. In Jesus' name we pray.